What a cast of characters. My goodness. Oh, how beautiful. It is so great to be home, and I want to... It's just something to come back to this place. You know, there's so much going on in this place. Have you noticed? Saturday, we've got the crab feed where everybody gets together and we all get our families together and introduce them to our spiritual family and have a great time. And then next Sunday, the experience of the radical forgiveness ceremony. If you haven't had the opportunity, if you've had the opportunity, I know you'll be there. But if you haven't had the opportunity to experience the level and the power of the release that takes place through this amazing experience, it's just something that I'm so grateful is here and that we get the chance to share. Now, many of you are aware that through, really from the first of the year, we've been looking at the experience of the heart. And through our first weeks, we really have went through the steps that it takes to enter into the heart. And there within the heart to call forth the tremendous power and intelligence that guides us and cares for us. That is this flow of spirit. And really, as we got to do that, and Sheila brought it to a wonderful conclusion for us last Sunday, and thank you for that, Sheila. Next Sunday, I want to take you on a different experience of the heart. I want to take you through a series of heart experiences, of heart energies that individually release us from specific limitations, but together they combine to really give us the opportunity to experience what true freedom is, to be free from the control of the past, to be able to be free from the limitations that we have experienced in the messages that we've received and what has taken place within our lives, to be free to really be who we are. It's a very powerful and beautiful journey, and I'm thrilled to be able to share it with you over the next 6 or 7 weeks. And this week, we get to touch the heart in a different way. And I am so pleased to be able to be a part of celebrating the Black History Month, because from the African American church has come a new consciousness that has touched everybody on their spiritual path, far beyond Christianity. But it really is an experience that, to me, brought about the reawakening of the heart of Christianity, which is a beautiful thing because it reaches out and it touches all of our lives. And, you know, the obvious way that we know so deeply has been in the gorgeous music and how it's touched us. And Sheila, thank you for setting up the wonderful music for our experience today. But to understand the we've taken time to share different traditions, to look at Hinduism and some of the great wisdom that it brings to us, at Buddhism and Judaism. And you all know I have a soft spot for the Tao and Lao Tzu and the beautiful wisdom that's there. Well, in this, what we're doing is, instead of looking at Christianity, we're really looking at a movement within Christianity that ended up changing the consciousness of Christianity itself, bringing a tremendous spiritual gift. And because of its power, it's something that wherever we may be in our spiritual path, whatever may be most meaningful to us, is enlivened and reawakened by it. So let me begin by putting some of this in context. when the African people were brought to the Americas as slaves, one of the things that they were given was Christianity. Now, they weren't given Christianity for salvation, and they weren't given Christianity as something to inspire and uplift them. They were given Christianity as a part of their enslavement. Okay? They were the pagans, and Jesus died for their sin. So immediately they are placed in a context of less than and not okay. And Jesus paid through suffering. And that was the picture of the ultimate gift, which made their suffering okay. So it's spiritual for you to suffer as a slave, is the message from Christianity. From that experience, then there is also a message that is given. And the message is that this, what God wants of you is to suffer without objection. Jesus took the abuse, so should you. Okay. And this was what they were given, again, not for support, but for enslavement. And as they worked and they experienced this Christianity through their generations, and as they listened and they looked at those teachings, something happened. What they found was Jesus. They found a deep personal experience with the man Jesus, not the Christ, not that part of every being, that symbol of the divine within each being. Not God, but Jesus. Because here was someone who was holding them in love as they were. Someone who not only accepted, but understood the life experience that they were having. And through that identity, they moved into a deep and powerful personal spiritual experience. Through that personal experience of Jesus, a powerful awakening and a powerful understanding unfolded through the African-American world. Now, I got to pause here for just a moment, because I mentioned a personal experience with Jesus. You may have been in other churches that also mentioned a personal experience of Jesus. I'm not talking about the way they were talking about. Okay? Because the way they were talking about is exclusive. And if you didn't experience that, you're not okay. And they used it for spiritual abuse rather than spiritual support.
Yes.
Okay. And that's, and what I know is many of the people that come to Unity come here to be free of such treatment. So what I am sharing with you is a beautiful and a powerful spiritual experience that was had by a group of people. And it was sacred. It is not the only way to experience personal presence of the divine. There are many ways that the growth that happens within us into the personal experience of the divine takes place. I want to share with you one of the one of the great descriptions of what happens for us as we experience God. Now, this is from Emily Cady, Lessons in Truth, a core Unity book, and one that I love deeply and bring to you often. What Dr. Cady said is, God is the name we give to that unchangeable, inexorable principle at the source of all existence. He is principle, impersonal. Impersonal principle. That's God. Now, if I were a slave, that wouldn't be a lot of help to me. Okay? But it's no less true. That divine presence is that the principle of life. So when we see the green of the trees, when you see the smile on a friend, that's life expressing. That's the divine expressing in our world. Expressing that principle that God is. What a beautiful thing. But Emily Cady goes on and she gives us another part of the experience of God. She says, as expressed in each individual, he becomes personal to that one, a personal, loving, all-forgiving father, mother. A personal, loving, all-forgiving father, mother. The hunger of everyone for satisfaction is only the cry of the homesick child for its father, mother, God. So that fulfillment that we seek is something that we experience, not by something that we do or accomplished. It's experienced by that personal experience of the divine presence. Now, for those people that were in the experience of slavery, that they could experience that personal presence through Jesus was a wonderful thing. It was a beautiful thing. It's a sacred experience. Many of you have experienced that personal presence, some through the experience of Jesus, some simply by finding the presence of love within yourself and experiencing that without a symbol or a being that we use to make that connection, but simply discovering that love within. It is that personal Father, Mother, God. The presence of that love in you. Okay, how many of you remember the Hare Krishnas? Okay, so some of you are older than you may care to admit. Well, I remember driving by these people. Okay, now they were the ones with the orange robes and the shaved head before it was cool to shave your head. Okay, and they were standing on the street corner, you know, singing their Hare Krishna. And I looked at those folks. And I knew they had had a personal experience of something. Okay, there is no intellectual teaching that would get you to do that in our society at that time. There's no way you could talk anybody into that. So they had to have a deeply powerful spiritual experience out of a different culture, out of a different religion. What a beautiful thing. Did I understand their experience? No, I didn't need to. It wasn't mine to have. But I could honor the sacredness of what they had touched. How beautiful. I am so glad that wasn't my road. So out of the experience of slavery comes this rich connection with Jesus, as you so beautifully captured in that music for us. I mean, a beautiful experience. And then as we go through past the experience of slavery and segregation, taking away the boundaries, the richness of that experience expanded into Christianity. And we began to relate, instead of from that intellectual level, down into personal, rich, beautiful experience. Some of which, for some people, was through the experience of Jesus. Some in many other ways. But that experience within us is so sacred and so beautiful. And a consciousness that has touched it touches us all. And then there's a another experience that happens. Okay. I want you to look at Christianity around that time. Okay, and remember what we're really dealing with in the United States is Northern European Christianity, Protestantism, and Catholicism. Okay, and if you remember kind of how it got here and what the arguments were over, it was whether or not it was okay to dance, whether you got baptized right, whether this was right or that was right, and whether you were in the right church or the wrong church, okay, and all those sins that you were about. Okay, now, and so, and let me tell you, the Catholics weren't any better at inviting you to dance either, okay? So what we experienced was if we went into the experience of Christianity, the way to touch the beauty was to turn so deeply within that in the silence you could enter your heart. Okay, away from the head and its rules and all that stuff. In that silence, in the quiet, in the meditative experience, in the mystical experience within, was where the heart was. But there's another part of your heart. Your heart is also filled with passion. What did you hear in the music? The passion, the love, the praise of God. This that comes flowing through the heart. What a beautiful, how different. I can't imagine anybody going into an African American church and being bored. I can't say the same for the Presbyterians. Okay? You know, but what happened? You ran into the heart of people. It wasn't about your theology or what you knew. It was about what they invited to come forth and touched, and the Spirit moves through that. And that set up that passion of the heart, set up the greatest gift of all. You see that guy that they were having that love relationship with, taught love. And because that was real for them, they sought to live that love. Now that had to be pretty hard to do. But what happened over those years and those experiences? What took place there was a maturing of our understanding of love and its power. Let me share with you from a talk by Martin Luther King. Now, there's a final reason, I think, that Jesus says, love your enemies. It is this, that love has within it a redemptive power. And there is a power there that eventually transforms individuals. Just keep being friendly to that person. Just keep loving them, and they can't stand it too long. Oh, they react in many ways in the beginning. They react with guilt feelings, and sometimes they'll hate you a little more at that transition period. But just keep loving them. And by the power of your love, they will break down under the load. That's love, you see. It is redemptive. And this is why Jesus says love. There's something about love that builds up and is creative. There's something about hate that tears down and is destructive. So love your enemies. A culture, masses of people, that took that to heart and from a culture of constant abuse made the choice to love. I had a wonderful moment when an African American minister shared with me an understanding. Said, David, you need to understand that the African American community regards Jesus as the one that freed them from slavery. What a beautiful understanding. To live those teachings, to create a consciousness that became so strong that the world could no longer tolerate to hold those people in slavery. Now, as that consciousness sought to change, it took a war to end it. But it ended. And then it was that love in the experience of the civil rights marches that brought the end of segregation. Not because it was taught, because it was lived. I'm going to share with you what Martin Luther King said to the people that came in response to a bomb having been thrown into his house in Alabama, January 1956. An attempt to kill and harm him and his family. To the people that came out to respond, he said, "If you have weapons, take them home. If you do not have them, please do not seek to get them. We cannot solve this problem with retaliatory violence. We must meet violence with nonviolence. Remember the words of Jesus." So he takes them back to this one that they have experienced as spiritual support and power on a long and difficult journey. Remember the words of Jesus. "He who lives by the sword will perish by the sword. We must love our white brothers." No matter what they do to us, we must make them know that we love them. Jesus still cries out in words that echo across the centuries, "Love your enemies, bless those that curse you, pray for those that despitefully use you." This is what we must live by. We must meet hate with love. Choosing love. That is really the only real message that's in that Bible. All the rest is just stuff to remind you how important it is. I choose love. Join me.
I choose love.
Again.
I choose love. I choose love. I choose love.
Now that means going to the office and that person that does those things that they always do. The response is,
"I choose love."
Or going home with that person in your family that always does that, and you've been working on for so long. The response is,
"I choose love."
And when you do that thing on yourself, "I'm not okay, I'm wrong, I should have, I didn't." The response is,
"I choose love."
Again,
"I choose love. I choose love. I choose love."
What we have been shown by people living it is that love has the power to overcome any obstacles. It overcame separation. It overcame segregation. It overcame less than. It overcame not okay. It overcame government systems. It overcame angry, hurt people on both sides of that journey. It is the choice that changes consciousness. It is the choice that we as humankind are now asked to make. What a gift that we've been shown how. Bless you.